T-minus 47. Ford McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. Rather than the relatively responsible news coverage on ACN, Emma's projector was tuned to Blitz News. The anchor and studio guests, usually hysterical over nothing, were positively losing their minds now that something shocking had actually happened. Emma would have shaken her head and switched station if this kind of media reaction wasn't so dangerous, but the impact it would have on the public reaction couldn't be overstated. For one reason or another, Blitz was still the most popular news network by a huge margin, meaning that more Americans were hearing these words than any others as their first description of the regrettable events in Argentina. The headline alone told much of the story. Brutality in Buenos Aires. Uplift powers kill. Emma was the only one still watching and listening, as Dan had already picked up Piper and taken her outside to follow Tara. None of Tara's increasingly frantic attempts to reach Clark had gotten through, but a sudden beep sounded from her phone and Dan's to notify them of an incoming message. Tara got to it first and read aloud for Dan's benefit.
With Godfrey, going to a secure site with no phone access. Not hurt. Love you guys.
See? Dan said. He's fine. What Dan didn't say was just as important, though, and Tara's momentarily eased mind quickly moved on to that broader concern.
But it's not fine, she said. Dan, nothing is fine. People are going to go crazy and push for total isolationism after that. And even if none of that mattered, Leisha is gone. How are we supposed to help Piper if we can't even talk to them anymore?
Clark told him to go, Dan said. Oddly, Tara's understandable level of fear and anxiety tempered Dan's. The urge to calm her fears, it turned out, forced him to think more clearly than would have been the case if he'd been left to stew on his own. Leisha won't really be gone, just cloaked in his craft like he has been all along. Tara turned back to him.
Maybe.
Definitely. And maybe this won't work out so bad. It could be one of those times when a bad thing brings everything to a head, then we can move on. If the shooter turns out to be a radical anti-contact guy spurred on by all the media's fear-driven crap, we can say they nearly got Clark and Godfrey killed, and that it's a good thing Leisha was there to stop the bullet.
Thanks for trying to chill me out,
Tara said, walking to hug Dan as he held the still sleeping Piper.
But let's go back inside. I'm sure I can hear Emma talking to someone.
Sure enough, Dan heard Emma's voice when he got closer to the slightly open kitchen door. Good ear, he said. Tara shushed him while they walked through the kitchen. Hearing them enter, Emma, appearing decidedly flustered as she paced back and forth in the living room, unmistakably mouthed the word, Slater. She then pressed the loudspeaker button on her phone so Dan and Tara could hear both sides of the call. They sat down as quietly as possible, with Dan repeatedly giving a cutthroat gesture to confirm that he didn't want to speak, even if Slater asked for him.
So what's your other option here if you don't downplay it?
Emma asked Slater, her tone sounding more tired than anything else.
To disavow the messengers? Leave the ICA? Play up to the minority of people who fear cooperation?
Slater said nothing.
Because you know as well as I do that the vast majority of people don't, Emma continued. And those people didn't see an alien killing an innocent bystander. They saw Leisha saving Clark McCarthy from a madman's bullet, a bullet Clark was trying to save Godfrey from. This is a story with two heroes and one villain. The villain is dead and the only bystander was Godfrey. You know he's going to be publicly thankful to Leisha, so what's your endgame if you do something that signals the opposite?
A deep inhalation from Slater's end of the line was clearly audible. Emma, the victim exploded from the inside out.
Look, I really don't have time for this, Emma groaned. That cowardly piece of shit was no victim, and if you do anything other than downplay this whole thing and stick to the line that Leisha neutralized an active threat, you're going to have your own state of emergency, okay? The only reason you're still in that seat is that Dan was big enough to let bygones be bygones and avoid calling for your head. You wouldn't be calling me if you trusted your team's instincts on this, but if you do listen to them, don't say I didn't warn you.
Emma remained standing for several seconds after unilaterally ending her phone call with the President of the United States. This was far from the first time she had clashed with Slater, but that didn't make it feel any less surreal,
and certainly didn't mean that she had gotten used to the remarkable position of both power and responsibility that she and Dan had fallen into in recent years. Having fallen into their position was the way she used to think of it anyway, but since learning of Piper's inherited uplift ability to manipulate physical objects through sheer force of will, that perspective had quickly flipped. Now that Dan's desire to find general answers about the messenger's home world and their history had been superseded by a fundamental and primal need to discover how their uplift powers had developed or where they had come from in the first place, he would do whatever it took to ensure that interspecies cooperation deepened, and quickly, despite all of the fear-driven complications that had been swirling around even before Leisha's admittedly regrettable actions in Buenos Aires. Emma, too, had willingly, or perhaps desperately, stepped back into the limelight, with her quickly accepted offer to appear live via satellite on Focus 2020 the following day. Both parents were driven by the reality that Piper's ever-developing mind could soon be capable of positively dangerous things, and that any public discovery of her abilities would be dangerous in and of itself. Facing a wall-sized projector screen that continued to show the single most frightening still image of Leisha's rage-stricken face that had been captured by the hundreds of attendant reporters, Emma felt Dan and Tara's eyes upon her. "Her aides wanted to declare a state of emergency," she said, slowly turning around and speaking in a gentle and borderline apologetic tone, as though feeling a need to explain the combative one she had used at the end of the call. "Before you came inside, I told her that this isn't going to be as bad as they're thinking in terms of public disorder. It's going to be bad in a lot of ways, but not that one. This isn't the hoaxed plaques making it seem like the messengers would be hostile. This isn't DS1 blowing up a minute after its launch, and this definitely isn't John Cole leaking news of Il Diavolo's approach." "People are going to be scared, though," Dan said, talking quietly to avoid waking the sleeping baby in his arms. Emma gave a half nod of acknowledgement. "But people don't riot when they're scared, Dan. People riot when they're angry. We've relearned that over and over again. And anyway, if you think about it, all we really found out today is that the messengers get angry. That's it. We already knew what kind of power they had. We just didn't know they would ever use it like that. But that's all I have to say to spin it back around. We didn't know they would use it like that because they have never used it like that. Until now, in all the time we've known them, the number of people they've hurt, let alone killed, is none." "Well, Richard Walker," Tara chimed in. Dan scrunched up his face in disagreement. "Walker was dying anyway. He maybe just didn't survive the last abduction. Besides, if they hadn't taken him that day, he was going to cause a lot of problems that would have gotten people killed."
"That one's complicated," Emma conceded. "But even if it counts, it is just one. They've never caused anyone who was innocent any harm. We can definitely say that. The three key things we know are, they saved our whole planet, they're willing to cooperate with us, and Leisha just saved Clark and Godfrey. Jan Geller can spin this all she wants overnight, but when tomorrow's show comes around, she's got nowhere to hide. We go back, way back, and I know things about that woman she doesn't know about herself. There's only one thing I'm actually worried about in all of this."
Before Emma could finish, a knock on the front door cut her off. With a concerned gulp, she put a finger to her lips and stepped towards it.